for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now, here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It is Monday, April 15th. That's that IRS day we used to call April 15th. I don't know you. Thankfully, I got an accountant to do all that stuff, good stuff for me now. But anyway, it's good to have you joining us. It is Monday, and this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're so grateful to have you as our listener. Again, our commitment is to bring you what? Timely information about all that's going on in this crazy mortgage industry. And we're doing so in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. Joining me on the podcast are our regulars, Adam DeSantis from the MBA. Looking forward to getting his update. Les Parker talking about the macro view of the markets in a minute. Matt Graham talking about what's going on with the economy now with his rather subdued voice. And then my dear friend, David Kittle, who is eating potato chips in my ear right now. Good to have you here, Mr. Kittle. No, we don't hear you doing that. I'm just giving you a bad time. His video's on. We're watching him eat. He's making me hungry. I'm hungry. I love potato chips. Alice Albee's here with us. Good to have her with Union Home Mortgage. Love her because she's been here from the beginning. She and her husband are such dear friends. Alan Pollock's here with a tech update. And our newest member, Bill Corbett. Also, as pronouncing it earlier, I think he might have some French in him, but Corbet, that is the proper French pronunciation, but Bill Corbett is here with us and so excited about it. Mark Helm will be joining in, hopefully dialing in a little bit later, getting into his thoughts on what's going on in the markets. We're so grateful for our sponsors. Again, each one of our sponsors, I don't know what to say about these guys. These believe in us. They hear about us, and they're reaching out to us. We have so many new sponsors that are reaching out to us, one of which is Title Ease that I'm talking to right now. I got to tell you, there are some exciting new products and services that are in the market. They're coming out, and guess who? They're talking to us, and they want to get their word out and be known. I want to support Byte Software. Thank them for their sponsorship. Just got a call from Bobby Connor the other day. He says, I'm out fishing. I need some good luck. I'm calling you because the last time, two times I called you when I was out fishing, I immediately caught fish. Cracked me up. But they have, if you're fishing for a new software system and looking for one, you need to check out Byte Software. They have an uncompromising solution to your operation that gives you maximum control, that allows you to design and manage the custom workflows in an in-house manner with a micro-based automation, macro-based automation, validation rules, and countless customization options. Listen to what Aaron D. had to say about them in our January 24th interviewer of her. Love Aaron D. at Loan People. Also, Finastra experienced the power of fully integrated approach to mortgage lending that simplifies the borrowing experience and streamlines the process for your employees and your customers. They just released some new products and with new AI emerging. I'm going to be doing a webinar with Acuma. Very excited about it. American Credit Union Mortgage Association doing a presentation to over 250, 270 Acuma members tomorrow afternoon. Looking forward to doing that. Also, and doing that on behalf of Finastra. Also, Lender Homepage. You got to check these guys out. Lender Homepage says allows you to connect, convert, and close more loans with the power of an AI-driven digital platform. And then I'm talking about websites, so many things that they could help you with on getting AI in your solution into your company. Also, Rocky and Quay. We did an interview with them on December 12th, working on another interview. Check them out, Lender Homepage. Also, Truv, T-R-U-V, allows you to replace the most expensive competitor out there in the market, slash your cost by as much as 80, 90%, but they cover 90% of all the workforce. Again, what they're doing is allows you to get instant insurance verifications, employment verifications, and do so in a frictionless manner at a drastically reduced cost. Check out Truv and what they can do to save costs and maximize your verification process. Very fast, very quick technology that they have. Listen to the interview we did with Richard Greiser, who is the head of marketing there at True. Also want to say thank you to Angel AI. If you're not checking out angelai.com, you have got to do this. This is revolutionary, transforming our industry. It's a seismic shift because what Pavan and the team there at SunWest Mortgage have been using with Angel Eye developing over the last 24 years, it is literally changing the way mortgages are done. And that is not an overstatement, guys and gals. It is amazing. Also want to say thank you to the MBA, Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, and the Mortgage Collaborative. These two co-ops do a fabulous job of connecting their lender members and their vendor members with each other in a way that brings just an amazing amount of knowledge sharing. The relationships I get at each one of these events. Lenders One was out in LA. That was awesome. TMC, Mortgage Collaborative One, was in Louisville with Mr. Kittle. So much fun. So much great connections and information that came out of it. Also, Mobility MMI, Modex, two very powerful business intelligence tools for your recruiting, and also Knowledge Coop. When it comes to a learning management system, it's the best. Love what they do. I just released, as we are doing the recording of this podcast, an interview with Greg Scher. Greg is with NFM Lending. It is an amazing interview. I've been watching what Greg's been posting. He reached out to me. He says, Dave, I'm really seeing the void that's missing out there with someone stepping up and speaking to the issues and boldly doing that. Greg is doing it. Greg Scher is doing this in a way. Get to know Greg and watch or listen to this interview that I just listened to it and approved it. I got to tell you, I'm really excited about this new voice on the landscape of the lending industry. He's been around for a long time, but he's got a great story, but he's got a heart to speak out boldly about issues. He reminds me of a young David Kittle who used to speak boldly out in the lending industry. And this Greg Scher is doing it. And so listen to that interview and be sure to comment. And the reason we posted that interview is because he wants people to get to him. What is it that I don't know? That's one of the reasons he reached out to me and Taylor Stork to say, I don't know what I don't know, but I want to get out and make a difference. So listen to the interview. Really enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. Also, I want to say thank you to all of our listeners. You all are the ones that's making this podcast that's been around for 15 years. It's just going crazy. It's going viral. On a bad day, it's 18,000 listens a day. Bad day, as much as 175 to 100,000 listens a day. It's how's that possible? But it is happening, and it's because of all the regulars that are on the podcast, Greg, giving us great content, and in spite of the host, as well as you, the listener. So thank you. Let's get started with today's Mortgage Minute from Adam DeSantis with the MBA. What you got for us, Adam?
Hi, I'm Adam DeSantis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, the Department of Veterans Affairs released its foreclosure prevention solution, the Veterans Affairs Servicing Purchase, or VASP, program. VASP is a purchase loan modification program designed to assist seriously delinquent veterans for whom existing VA home retention tools do not provide relief due to higher interest rates. It requires servicers to identify eligible loans, modify them to a 2.5% rate and a 30 to 40 year term, and then sell the loan to the VA. Servicers can begin to send VASP submissions to the VA beginning May 31st, 2024, and have until October 1st of this year to carry out the new program. We have been closely following the development of VASP since the October 2022 sunsetting of the COVID-19 Veterans Assistance Partial Claim Program. Importantly, MBA continues to urge the VA to work with Congress to adopt a VA Partial Claim Program. We believe that VA's loss mitigation program should include both VASP and this partial claim to provide servicers and veterans with durable solutions that help struggling homeowners avoid foreclosure in any market. MBA will remain engaged with the VA team to ensure that servicers receive the necessary information to successfully transfer VASP loans to VA's contractor and to implement the program. We will also conduct a comprehensive review of the VASP policy and provide comments to the VA shortly. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, good job, Adam DeSantis. Thank you so much for what you're doing there at the MBA. Bob Brooksbit, the whole team at the MBA is here for us. And what we need to do, folks, is get on and download the Action Mortgage Action Alliance app, M-A-W, Mortgage MAW app, and do so from your phone because it allows you to have your voice heard on Capitol Hill supporting the MBA's efforts. The MBA is one voice. We need to join our voices with the MBA. So be sure to download the Mortgage Action Alliance app so you can support what they're doing on the Hill. So good. Let's get over to Les Parker with this week's TM Spotlight and a macro view of the markets, along with an interesting music parody. What you have for us, Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Everybody's talking at bonds. They don't hear a word they're saying. Only the echoes of Paris mind.
The U.S., king of deficit spending, continues to see sticky inflation with the long-term expectation at 3%. Meanwhile, its dependent prince, the EU, sees slipping wages and inflation. So, the ECB is expected to ease in June. Unless the conflict in Gaza becomes an overt war between Iran and Israel, the bears can reach 5.25 in the 10-year yield. Conversely, the hope to go below 4% lies in a global recession and liquidity troubles. For now, the bears are
skipping over the Fed East like a stone.
These views are mine. Skip over the noise at tmspotlight.com.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Good job, Les Parker. I keep saying this. What amazes me about this is that he records that. He listens to the music, and then he records it without that playing in the background. That's spliced, put all together by Gary Ketcherbone. Good job, Les and Gary. Appreciate it very much. Check out Les's TM Spotlight newsletter. You can get the paid version for free if you enter the word power for PowerSeller. And it's worth it. It's a good read. And he talks about a music parody in each one of his newsletters, but he is not singing. You only get that by listening to us live here on the podcast. Thank you, Les Parker. Check it out. Let's get over to Matt Graham with the update on what's happened in the marketplace. Matt?
This is Matt Graham with the MBS Live Market Update. The bond market is in a world of hurt over the past few weeks, with CPI on Wednesday of last week being the biggest departure from the recent trend. Although the recent trend had begun to break in the previous week, CPI took things to a new level. This was striking and interesting considering the fact that core month-over-month CPI only beat its forecast by 0.1%. And even then, if you go to the unrounded numbers, it was only 0.359, rounded up to 0.4. Certainly could have been a much higher unrounded number, and it would have been the same rounded headline. All that to say, there was an opportunity for the bond market to push back against the initial reaction by having second thoughts due to that lower unrounded number, or lower in the range of 0.4 results. But it did not take that opportunity. Instead, selling continued for the rest of the day, not helped along at all by a very weak 10-year Treasury auction. Sometimes we see those auctions sort of act to confirm the bond market is buying the dip in prices or buying the spike in yields, but no such luck this time. The 30-year bond auction the following day was less notable. It wasn't really much weaker at all, well within the realm of an average result, but only after yields had spiked pretty relentlessly through the course of the week. Things calmed down on Friday, but not for any particular reason. And then over the weekend, yields jumped yet again, very gradually though, which is interesting. Even though we had geopolitical headlines, there was no rapid spike in response to those. More geopolitical headlines this morning and some bond market movement, apparent bond market movement surrounding those, but nothing definitive because it also coincides with block trades at the CME, which are large privately negotiated trades that occur outside the normal exchange and often provide a little bit of thought leadership for other traders. But this morning's biggest, baddest piece of news for the bond market is a good piece of news for the economy, a strong retail sales report. Today's number came in at 0.7 versus a 0.3 forecast, and the previous report was revised up from 0.6 to 0.9. To make matters worse, things would have looked even better for retail sales if not for a meaningful decline in motor vehicle parts and dealers. That's the biggest category in the report by a small margin, and it was more than offset by a category that's nearly as big, which is non-store retailers, basically online spending, and that grew at 2.7%. The only real mitigating factor is that a portion of the gain was due to gas prices, and it is not adjusted for inflation. So if gas prices are moving higher and people are buying the same amount of gas, the retail sales numbers will move higher, all other things being equal. But even factoring out the inflation-adjusted impact, spending increased at non-store retailers at such a pace that the number would have beaten the forecast by quite a bit anyway. And if people are spending in online retailers, it is indicative of a relatively strong economy, generally speaking, and it continues to imply upward pressure on inflation, all of the things being equal. And inflation is the biggest, baddest thing that the rate and bond market could consider these days. So with that in mind, do we have any other economic data coming up this week that is going to have as much of an impact? As far as past precedent is concerned, no. There are no other reports that are on par with retail sales. As far as next week is concerned, we do get PCE inflation, but that hasn't been a big market mover recently because the market has done a majority of its response to inflation data based on CPI. If PCE were to come in lower than CPI, then it could moderate some of the damage. But otherwise, the trend is gradually higher in the bigger picture for yields, although that plays out with some sharp movements in the short term. And it will continue to be the trend until data pushes back in the other direction. If PCE doesn't do the trick, then we're waiting for the first week in May with a Fed announcement on May 1st, and then the jobs report 2 days later before getting the next dose of super big ticket information. That's going to do it for this week. Back to you.
Oh, man, there's some interesting information in there, and I want to get Bill Corbett's thoughts. Corbet, also known as Bill Corbet, if we're going to go the French version. Bill, listening to that and listening to Les's, let's start off with you and getting some commentary about this market we find ourselves in.
So the government keeps distributing money like a drunken blackjack dealer. And money that we don't have.
Yeah, money we don't have.
And things like retail sales significantly exceed expectation, and inflation continues. And the Fed's like, okay, well, we need some sort of teamwork to make this whole concept work. And to the fiscal side of the house, when are you guys going to start helping? And yeah. The other thing, Dave, that you mentioned right at the outset, and we actually talked about this, you and I talked about this a while ago, where the formula, if you will, of the, you know, flight to quality when bad things are happening to U.S. treasuries, well, as I said at the time, it's a flight to quality, but in the past, it was also a flight to confidence that the U.S. markets would be the most rational player, and therefore that's where in times of uncertainty, you wanted to put your money. And I think that's what we're seeing now, that confidence in the U.S. is not there.
No, not under this administration, at least. Great points, Bill. Mr. Kittle, let's get your thoughts in on this. I know you, and you could shoot some questions off to Bill if you want as well, but wanted to get your thoughts. I was anxious to get to you because Bill's comment about this administration and the ineptness of how we're viewed on the world landscape.
I would just repeat everything Bill just said and go ditto. The one question that I would like to see out of all the data we just heard in the retail sales, that's borrowed money given out. Are the people that are buying retail, the consumers, putting it on credit cards?
They are.
Or are they paying cash?
Yeah, and so we know it at the highest record levels ever.
So are we driving up not only the deficit of the United States by giving the free money out, consumers are driving up their credit card balances as well, which is the highest it's ever been. It is a scenario for disaster. And the last year and a half, I've preached on here and said, if there's going to be a rate drop, it would be before the election and it would be political. And so now the only way they can drop rates is to make it a political drop, even though the Fed's not supposed to be political because inflation's here. They got nowhere to go. They are boxed.
They are. Am I the only one in the room that is now really doubtful of the Fed's doing a drop at all, Bill?
I don't think they will.
I don't think they will. And the other thing is, right now, I blame both sides in Washington equally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It, it is both
that
parties.
That is an inside the beltway problem, not a R or D problem. And
correct.
I'm struggling to see when and where the adults in the room are going to start to change that course.
Yeah. It would be interesting, as I just thought about this as you were talking, Bill and David, is that it'd be interesting to study credit card debt within the beltway. It appears that the nation is following what our leaders are doing, spending money they don't have and at a wholesale rate. But I wonder if it's even higher within the beltway. Just an interesting thought on the side, because the delusion that's out there, it is both aisles, Bill, to your point, very much. Alice, your thoughts on our rate structure?
As far as the rate structure, I guess for making the change, I am in the camp that I don't think it's going to happen. What was interesting is MBA posted an update with Mike Frattantoni, and he was still saying that the way the different Fed participants are talking, they're expecting possibly three more, is still being talked about on the table. And I live more by the streets, the boots on the ground, what's happening in my neighborhood, what do I see happening in the industry, and the volatility of rates last week and the week before, just volume wasn't there.
And again,
there.
It looks like this week.
People are positive. Yeah, it's hard to see where the economy is really going to go. So I'm a little bit of a naysayer on that right now.
Yeah, I agree with you, Alice. I mean, when we're looking at what's happening right now, Mike Frattantoni, I am so grateful for Mike Frattantoni, and I am compassionate to him. He's inside the beltway, so he's drinking the same water that they're drinking inside there. I just don't get it. And he sent over, he is so gracious. I'm doing the Acuma, American Credit Union Mortgage Association presentation tomorrow for Finastra. And he sent over his latest slides. And I saw that he still has that in there. And he's not the only one. There's a number of other economists still believing that's possible. It's just the rest of us outside the beltway are really questioning it. And so I'm going doubt it. Bill, excuse me, Alan, want to weigh in on any of this?
Like David said, ditto to everyone. I have no crystal ball. And it's financially, you talk to people, no one agrees with the news and no one agrees with what the government thinks. So I think we just have to keep on moving, be happy, and continue to help people get into their homes. But I have a friend right now, by the way, that moving from Virginia back to Florida, and he spoke to two, three lenders. They gave him great deals, and he's now picking between three. There's good deals out there. I think he's even getting a seller concession. So his mortgage loan officer was able to work that out. So I would just not worry about the market and continue to rise above.
Go get business. It's out there. Over $2 trillion of business out there right now to be gotten. Alice said this year, several podcasts ago, which is consistent with everyone's, Bill Kittle's been saying, that is the business out there. Just go focus. Don't get caught up in the rate structure. What this is a storm. There is a storm, and it's going to wipe out a lot of people out of the industry. Question is, are you going to be focused on the storm? Are you going to be focused on the $2 trillion that's still going to get done this year? Challenge you to focus on the 2T, the $2 trillion. It's there to be had. Are you the one that's going to get it? Seller concessions, you raised. That is an interesting thing. Our daughter just bought a home and was able to get some seller concessions out of a existing house. The seller says, you buy my house, I'll do this. We're seeing some things slowing down in various market parts of the market. I'm working with Alan Weiss of Weiss Analytics, and he's a business partner with me in a new venture that we have going together. TV program. And we're doing a looking at all the markets right now. You've got to check out what's going on at Weiss Analytics to see his ability to predict. Look at historical trends and how certain real estate markets fall apart, how they expand, and which end. Is it the inner city? Is the outer band? Each market is uniquely different. Fascinating what we can now see through artificial intelligence. Alan, remind me to talk about artificial intelligence and the market moves, which is related to the segment we just listened to in the tech segment. So let me make sure I get back to that. Mr. Kittle, anything you want to say? It was great seeing you. We're going to get over to Alice in just a minute. But Mr. Kittle, it was so good to see you in Louisville. Great TMC event. It was really fun. And I think these things, it's getting together. It's the camaraderie that we have, David, at these things that we're there to assure each other. We're still in this. We're in it to win it. We're here to continue to be together. And so thank you for putting that on. You are the CEO now of TMC, co-founder of it, one of the founders. But it's really good to see under your leadership what's happening.
Thanks, David. It was a good conference. And we just got our survey back, too. We had 97% said good to excellent. And everybody had a good time. And we had great content. So there was great value being there and affordable to get in. People had a good time at the Slugger Museum. Get to see the baseball bats where they were made. And there were a few glasses of bourbon drank while we were here. So
there was a little bit of bourbon drunk there. Yeah, surprise. Drinking bourbon in Louisville. Can you? And I finally got it down where I'm saying Louisville. Got the vool down. Okay, working on that. You cracked me enough time. But it was fun watching you, seeing you in the batter box with holding some of those bats that are like museum pieces. Then they let you get in there. You can't swing them, but you look good in there, man. A natural.
Can hold Hank Aaron's bat or Mickey Mantle's actual game played bat, Ted Williams' game played. Neat. An offset, not the real reason to come to the conference, but it was nice to have the reception.
No, it creates a fun backdrop for some of the things that are going on. So that's, I think that you're right. The serious stuff that happened at the
registration is open for the Mile High City. So we're going to Denver in September.
Going to Denver. Yeah. See if we get snow next time. You could see a snowstorm over there at that time of the year. All right. Thank you, David. Appreciate it. Bill, thanks for your commentary on this. Love to get you guys commentary and everything else. Folks, interrupting our segments for a second to have our advertiser Byte software clients raving about the service. Check it out.
I think what it boils down to is relationship, right? When you can develop a relationship that's long-term and it's mutually beneficial to all sides, it just deepens and heightens everything that you can do.
Alice, let's hear what you have for a legislative update. Good to have you with us.
Yes, I know. We love that term partner. It makes it very easy to talk with each other. And by the way, it's with a capital P, as always. Okay.
I noticed that. Always P. Yeah. Capital P partner.
So for my report today, I just wanted to expand on what Adam DeSantis reported on from the MBA. This was VA's announcement last week of the VA Servicing Purchase Program. So they call it VASP, V-A-S-P, you'll see this. And it's gotten a little more headlines, I think, than a typical servicing program would get, because it all started to stem from VA announcing that they're going to stop their COVID forbearance. And then there was a news piece done by NPR on the impact this is going to have to veterans, with tens of thousands of them on their way, with so many people who were in flight with a COVID forbearance and really needing a solution. So this is not a program that folks can just sign up for, but it is going to replace this. This starts May 31st if lenders are set up. We really, for lenders, this is going to be a lot of some system programming and procedural things to set up. We have to do it by October 1st. So I always think September 30th, it sounds like a lot further or a lot closer, even though it's just a day. But psychologically, think September. And there are a lot of things to know about this program. It is part of a waterfall process. So it's not like a borrower can just jump right into, hey, I want that 2.5% 40-year amortization to get my payment down. Servicing goes through what they call waterfall processes, especially with the VAs and FHAs and USDAs, to get to when does someone become eligible that this offers on the table. So this is a last resort program after someone really has become delinquent. There are no other options for modifications or other type of junior liens that a lender can set up with VA. So you just want to make sure folks level set and understand what's really involved with that. But it is a great option to have on the table, where as a lender, we can get out of having to own that VA loan ourselves and still offer the veteran an option if they fit into that category. Just wanted to give everybody a quick round out on what that one really means for our industry today. So that was all I was going to report on today, Dave, because it's a little bit slower in the news out there. And if Mark Helm's on the line, I'm sure he has a lot to chime in about related to servicing and the value of that program.
Yeah, unfortunately, Mark has not been able to make it in to the podcast today. He got his hands full with what he's working on. His assignment that he's on right now is just all consuming. So really good. Excellent report, Alice. Thank you so much for being here each and every week. Appreciate your contribution and your friendship. What a great job. And be sure to greet Bill and Al and the whole team over there and what they're doing.
I will.
Union Home. Appreciate them, Union Home, lending you to us for this segment each and every week. Appreciate it, Alice. Blessings. Alan Pollock is here for the tech update. So, Alan, I got to get this in. First of all, welcome to the podcast, Alan Pollock, who is just so knowledgeable on everything going on in the tech world. Good to have you here, Alan. Dialing in from Florida. Good to have you with us. What do you have for us today, my friend?
Great to be here, David. Thanks for doing this, for having this program. People love it. I got new phones for my family at Verizon Wireless. And I went to a store. They have the physical Verizon stores, and they've got the satellite stores that are individually owned, and they're partners of Verizon. You can go to either of them. I went to an actual store, and it was an hour and a half before close, and I have five phones on my account for my wife, myself, and my kids. And they looked up my info, and they said, oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to help you tonight because I'm leaving early. I was an hour and a half prior to close.
What?
So he said, go online. Yeah, so the next morning, I went online, and online started a chat. And it said, would you like us to call you? There's a 45-minute wait. And I said, no, I'll just start the chat. And I've done these chats many a times. Xfinity, Comcast is another one that I absolutely despise. Anyways, I start the chat. David, throughout the day of working at my desk, I continued to chat with no breaks, no disconnections. 6 hours later, they were unable to confirm why my price on my bill went up when the price of the phones was 80% less than the current price. So then I went to another store, and the store told me they have no idea. They looked at the order. They go, we have to cancel the whole thing. I spent 2 to 3 hours at the store. Make a long story short, as much as I hate Verizon and customer service, and the point of me talking about Verizon was about knowing and understanding and having some empathy for our customers, right? Not telling them to dial systems and voicemails, truly having a way for conversation. And that goes for vendors as well, making sure we're available to the lenders. But I called a major credit union in our industry, major. And I'm a member of their institution. And when I called them, I had to not only confirm through the phone, birth date, year, social security number, last four of social, and say my name, that when they answered, not only did they ask me to reconfirm everything again, they started drilling into the details of my address, my wife's maiden name. It was so bad that I hung up. There needs to be something solved. And I know, David, you and the rest of our co-hosts here and everyone else has this problem often, where you go through this digital process and it doesn't convert to a human very well. So I bring it up because we really need to focus on this for our industry. Clearly, Verizon has done one thing right. And you ready for this? What they've done right is they no longer take you through the confirming everything and what kind of dog food your grandmother 5 years ago gave their cat. None of that matters anymore. Now they just send you a text message, and with the Verizon app, you click approve. And even when they access your account, because over my 6 hour chat, it happened 40 times, you just get a message and you click approve. You go to a website, you're already logged in once, you click approve.
Yes.
I'm not saying everyone has to adopt that, but wow, for all the things Verizon does wrong, after calling my credit union, this is the one thing Verizon did. So just start to think about security, authentication, know your customer, KYC. How do you give a great experience? You know what? It may burden someone to answer the phone sometimes, but what is received on the other end, speaking to a human, is way outweighing anything else that someone can be burdened by. So I just wanted to start off with that.
Yeah, and I want to interject a little bit on that because you're raising up a real good point. Literally, you could copy your voice now. Someone could listen to this podcast. We have enough voice that each of us give that if someone wanted to be really nefarious and grab our voices, they could duplicate the sound of our voice and go in and start doing some bad things. So we need to have all these different tools. I understand the concern because it's getting worse with AI. There's so many blessings that are coming with artificial intelligence, but there are also so many new risks being introduced. But so we got to stay ahead of it, but that's a great one. I have the same thing. I've got that on several accounts where they just go, is this you? Or just hit the app or we just sent you a text. The risk there is, are you holding your phone? Are you the one in possession of your phone? For some reason you lost your phone, then that could be another matter.
And you know what, David, I hate to say this, but maybe Verizon Wireless can help the voting process in our country to confirm who you are, because it clearly works for them.
Yeah, don't even get me started on our voting process. I have zero confidence on that, sadly.
Let's move on. There's a battle right now, and I made the political comment because of the next piece I have to talk about here. Last week, Representative Adam Schiff, California-based, proposed a bill that would require companies to be transparent about training data, meaning right now companies, AI companies specifically, like OpenAI and Google, they have tons and tons of data for their model. Typically, companies, they don't have to disclose where they get the information from. So it's going to be called the Generative AI Copyright Disclosure Act. And get this, David, I don't know if it has any legs or not. Before launching any product 30 days prior, you have to, there'll be a fine under this new regulation, and you'll have to identify and mention all the places that you receive the data from. But here is the interesting fact. Large language models, and you've all probably heard the term, they're called LLMs. ChatGPT trains on them in what's called text broken into tokens. So they train on text broken tokens. Tokens can be single words, parts of words, characters. There's no uniformity to them. Get this, GPT-4, which is the newest model of ChatGPT, has been trained on 12 trillion tokens per the Wall Street Journal. And then get this, estimates for GPT-5, which is not out yet, it could need upwards towards 100 trillion tokens. So get that from GPT-4, 12 trillion tokens of data, to 100 trillion when the next model comes out.
You can't even get your head around that.
You can't. How are you going to disclose those fragmented pieces of data to a regulatory event? So I believe, David, there is some regulation needed. I don't know really where. That's not my expertise. As a consumer, I want to be protected, right? I love the tech for what we do in mortgage. I love it for everything else. But as a consumer, I still want to be protected. It is a fine line. But anyways, food for thought for anyone interested. It's wild the amount of data that ChatGPT and Google take in tokens.
Yeah, now, I got to tell you.
On AI, I know you want... Oh, go ahead, David.
Yeah, I was going to say, anything Adam Schiff puts out there, I'm suspect right out of the gate. But, anyway, don't even get me started on him. Anyway.
Yeah. So I've got some interesting things going on in our industry on the topic of AI, and I know you want to talk about something, so I'll pause after this little news clip. So a company called Take3 Tech, and thank you, Rob Krisman, for posting this in your newsletter. They are announcing an integration between what they have that's called the Rule Tool and Poly, the new PPE, one of the new PPEs that's out there. And they say they have hundreds and thousands of loan officers who now access all their agency investor, jumbo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? As a lender, we expect that to be there. So let's move on to what I really want to talk about. What they just announced, by the way, is loan maps. Now it's a point of sale, LOS, CRM. They've got some great tech there, but this is the part I love. They've got an AI dog called Augie, A-U-G-I-E, I think. And Augie is integrated and changed the experience. So based on the amount of data, third-party data that was acquired during the point of sale and CRM process, you as an LO, a loan opener can chat with Augie and you can get upfront underwriting. It'll do income analysis, digital validation. It calls both AUS systems, Fannie and Freddie, at the exact same time, and you chat with it. Now, everybody knows me, that listens, knows I don't like the way a lot of people put AI together just because they're still acting as a machine and they haven't made it truly conversal. Oh man, I'm tripping up my word today. Anyways, what I'm getting at is check it out. This maybe is one, I'm going to look at it myself. And if it is really, David, so amazing on my level, like the pizza taste meter from Barstool Sports, then maybe we should start doing that for AI solutions. Anyways, I will get that out to everybody and give you an update on it. I've got so much other stuff, David, I'd love to talk about. I just want to end us on one quick thing. There are numerous data breaches that continue to happen. AT&T just had a really big one. This is something I talked about a while back. It's about passwords. I just want to throw it out there based on the number of characters and how secure your password is. If you have an 8 password, 8 characters in your password, and it's numbers only, it can be figured out by a hacker instantly.
Really?
That's right. Instantly. If you have 9 characters, 10 or 11 characters, and it's only numbers, they can figure it out instantly. Now get this. If you've got 8 characters, okay, so 8's a lot, and you've got lowercase letters, not just numbers, so just lowercase letters, they can figure it out instantly. If you go to 9, 10, 11, they can figure it out in between 3 seconds and 1 minute. Now, if you mix uppercase and lowercase letters, anything up to 6 characters, mixing upper, lowercase, including numbers, anything 6 to 8 characters, they can figure out instantly or up to 3 seconds. So this makes you rethink passwords. Think about data breaches of computer that you may leave in the coffee shop or that you left in a car and it got stolen. For your employees, your loan officers, think about someone walks away from the desk and somebody else tries to log in. I mean, I can come up with 80 scenarios. The strongest password that is on this list, okay, is numbers, upper and lower, and symbols, and not your pet name or your last name or anything like that. 11 characters can take 3 years to crack. So you want to be 9 to 11 characters, and you want a mixture of uppercase, lowercase, numbers, and symbols. And you're protected
to some degree, but not to, that's the thing, the brute force of the AI that's out there and someone that wants to get into it. That's why dual authentication is absolutely a must, knowing, assuming that you're going to get cracked and then be able to have an app or some way. It really goes a long ways to stop it, but it's getting so bad out there that we are really in a place where, how do we manage this? It's something else. Thank God for the consumer protection laws that we do have. But it's something else. So what I wanted to share with you was, I was talking to Pavan again at Angel AI, and he was talking about his algorithms he has, that he has AI managing market risk in his capital markets group. And he said this last week, when the market went a different direction than many people anticipated, their algorithms kicked in, AI algorithms kicked in, figured it out, and they started making money. Not the first day. The first day, there was a few losses in there. Nothing terrible. Very manageable. But they went quickly into making money based on market conditions. I think when you start looking at how volatile these markets have been, and are going to be even more so moving forward, Alan, I think we got to be looking more and more to technology. When you were talking about ChatGPT-5, when that gets released, and the amount of the tokens, I was just reading about that last night. I'm going back through for the second or third time parts of the book, but the second time fully end to end is the book, The Coming Wave. And it really talks about all these technologies that are out there and the complexity, but the rate of growth and where we're at. It is phenomenal. Large language models and what that all means. Listeners, I'm telling you, you're either going to be left behind. So I'm saying, get the book. Get the book, The Coming Wave. It's a must-read book, and especially part two. The book is written in three parts and three large, you might say, subheadings, but the part two is the one that will really open your eyes to what is happening, both in the bio world, in mechanics, and then also with AI. AI is the part of it that I'm most interested in, and it is mind-numbing how our world is changing. It's not, is it going to happen? It is underway, and that's the thing that I want to call everyone's attention to. If you're not using AI or finding a way and exploring everything, every possible solution that's out there, for those that are originating right now, AngelAI.com is free to you. You do not have to sell your loans to SunWest. They're a client of mine. They're an advertiser. So I mean, full disclosure on that. But seriously, you get to use it for free. Thousands, literally thousands of loan officers and realtors are signing up for it every single week. They're taking over the world. And I want you to be up on it, listeners. I want you to be in there and using it. It is so far advanced from anything we've ever seen out there. The naysayers and the haters will always say, yeah, but it doesn't do this. And it took a few seconds longer than I thought to get the answer. But yes, but you get an answer. And it's a really solid answer. Alan, these are exciting and worrisome days all at the same time. It's pretty fascinating what's going on in the markets. Appreciate your report, Alan. Good stuff.
Appreciate you as well.
So much. So Bill, you're still here. Any reflection and thoughts on all of that we've been talking about today, Bill?
Nothing that we haven't already hit on.
It's good to have you here. Appreciate all of you being here, listeners, and sharing this podcast out. Again, be sure to check out the interview that I did with Greg Scher that I just released today, Monday, April 15th. It is a must listen to, and then start following this guy because he's making some comments and he wants your feedback. If you don't agree with him, tell him why. That's what he wants. And you'll enjoy the interview. I want to say a special thank you again to our regulars, Adam DeSantis, Les Parker, Matt Graham, David Kittle, Alice Alvey, Alan Pollock, Bill Corbett, and Mark Helm. Mark could be with us today, but we're grateful that he's here. when he can be. Also through our sponsors, Byte Software, Finastra, Lender Homepage, True, Angel AI. Man, check that out. AngelAI.com. The Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Mobility MMI, Modex, and Knowledge Group, and more advertisers coming as we speak. Good to have you with us, everybody. Have a great week and look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thank you.